All right, listen, you wrote a book about the sense of being stared at, which, you know, for a minute it sounds silly until you stop and think about it a little bit. It's not so silly at all. Somehow, when we're in a room, we do know when somebody is staring at us. There is some sixth sense, and I wonder if that's what you call it, a sixth sense, that allows us to know when we're being stared at. What's that all about?
Well, the book actually is about that and a range of other phenomena of the extended mind. And I think what's important about the sense of being stared at is, first of all, that it's very common. Secondly, it happens in animals as well. I think it's a basic biological thing. Thirdly, I think it has an evolutionary background. I think it's to do with predator-prey relationships.
Yes.
A prey animal that can tell when a predator's looking at it,
yes,
would escape better. But above all, it has huge implications for the way we understand the nature of the mind. So what I've been doing is partly checking out just how common is this feeling, the sense of being stared at, and it turns out to be extremely common. I mean, over 90% of people have had this.
Yes.
It's very, very widespread all around the world. And then I've done lots of experiments. I've got some very simple experiments to test for it. These experiments are ones that can be done at home by people working in pairs. They can be done in schools. And in fact, thousands of them have been done in schools in the US and in Britain and in Germany. So there's now, I think, overwhelming evidence that this is for real, this sense. It's not just a coincidence, an illusion, just remembering when you're right, forgetting when you're wrong.
I absolutely agree with you, Rupert, but I have a question. While we know about the sense of being stared at, imagine a scenario where a bad guy is standing hiding behind a door with a baseball bat, waiting for you to walk through the door to bash you over the head with a baseball bat. Now, the man's intention who's waiting is to be hidden. The man's intention who's waiting is to not allow you to know that he's waiting to kill you. And could it be that in the cases where it's successful and the person doesn't know, they walk through the door and get killed, the reason the person didn't know this was coming or even sense it or have the hairs on the back of their neck stand up was because the intent of the person that was waiting for them was to remain hidden?
Well, I think there's a difference between people who remain hidden and people who have practiced special techniques to be sort of psychically invisible. Regular hiding, usually if people are hiding, they're usually peeping or looking because they want to see if someone's coming.
Yes.
And there's a very interesting case that I report in my book, a woman in the United States who had a very similar situation to this. She was getting out of her car park at night in a parking lot, heading towards the door of her apartment block. And she just felt really uneasy. She felt something bad was going to happen. She looked around, and she couldn't see anyone. She looked everywhere, and she felt someone was looking at her. She felt someone had some intention, but she couldn't see them. So she went to the door of the apartment block, and she just was there getting her keys when this guy appeared out of the dark, exposed himself in a very offensive way. And she sort of, because she was prepared for something happening, she very quickly ran off, got inside, closed the door, and ran upstairs. But she'd had this feeling from someone who was hidden, and she'd looked around to try and see where it was coming from. So I think it can give a warning in cases like that as well.
So it can work either way. So we don't really then yet understand what kind of communication is going on here, apparently, Rupert, or if there's any communication or if there's any transmission or if this is just two atoms doing the same thing at the same time in this great non-locality that the remote viewers talk about.
Well, I think that's going too far. That's taking a sledgehammer to crack a peanut, going to right over to quantum non-locality, I think, because what this thing is, first of all, it's quite local in the sense that usually if someone's staring at you, you can tell the direction. Usually when people swing around because they're
true.
Being watched, they
that's...
swing around and usually meet the eyes pretty well straight away.
Right.
They feel the direction, so it's directional. It's not just a kind of nebulous feeling you're being looked at. it has a directional component. I once was convinced, the first time I was really convinced of this, I was on the seventh floor of a hotel, and I was gazing out of the window. A couple of women walking down below, I was just watching them. And then they stopped, and one of them swung round and looked straight up at the seventh floor window where I was watching from. And they couldn't possibly have known that there was somebody watching from there. But they not only picked up, this woman picked up the direction, she picked up she was being watched, not just the direction, but it was up as well as behind.
All right, well, that's extremely interesting and simple on the face of it, but when you get down to trying to explain what actually might be happening here, then it gets very complicated, doesn't it?
Well, it gets sort of complicated, but the interesting thing about it is that it ties in with normal vision, you know, the way we just see things on a regular basis. Right now I've got my eyes open. It's daylight here in London, looking out of the window at a tree. Now, the normal theory of vision is that when you look at things, light comes in your eye, inverted images on the retina, changes in the optic nerve and in the brain, and then somehow the visual world we all experience is supposed to spring into being inside our heads. It's all meant to be a kind of virtual reality display inside the brain.
Right.
But what I'm suggesting is an idea that it's so simple it's rather hard to understand, which is that vision's a two-way process. Light comes in, all these changes happen in the brain as described, but then the visual world you see is actually projected out to where it seems to be. So my image of the tree I'm looking at isn't in my brain. It's outside me where the tree is. So, excuse me. So the projection out of visual images is, I think, the way our normal vision works. That means that it works through a field, what I call a perceptual field, which is a kind of morphic field, which I could come back to later. But it's a field phenomenon, so I'm projecting the image out in a field. The image normally overlaps with what I'm looking at, and therefore my field of attention is touching what I'm looking at. And I think it's precisely because when you look at somebody, your field of attention touches them. It reaches out beyond the brain and touches them, that people can detect that. And I think that's why we get the sense of being stared at.